The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.
Right, lads, we're back with quite a menagerie this week. Alan Cawley, haven't seen you in a while. How are you?
Shane, how are you? I don't think I've seen you since Christmas.
No, hopping off the sod here today. Bernard Flynn, how are you?
Good to see you, Shane.
Yeah, myself, Shane Stapleton, and Declan Maron, how are you?
How's it going?
Good, flying it. Loads to talk about this week. Premier League, FA Cup, GAA is kicking off with the league, bit of racing, rugby anti-post, we'll look at the Six Nations and that. We'll start off with the FA Cup, because Arsenal Man United this weekend. Does this game matter to you, Alan?
Not really, to be honest.
Do you feel like the romance isn't there?
No, well, I've had this debate and argument for the last, kind of every time the FA Cup crops up now, and it's probably been ongoing for the last 2 or 3, 4 years even. It has lost its glamour, unfortunately. I grew up with the FA Cup like so many and loved it, and Wembley and the big day, and everybody knows all about that stuff, and the famous shocks and upsets. All that's gone because the money is so big now, as we all know, Champions League football, and just to stay in the Premier League for clubs, it's imperative that to do that. So the FA Cup has suffered. How we revive that or bring it back, Shane, I'll never know.
Even a Friday 7:55 p.m. kickoff as well, it's taken a little something.
Now, the fact that it's two of the big teams meeting, there will be obviously huge interest in that. But then if you were to go through all the fixtures over the weekend, people aren't really that bothered.
I was trying to pick out some good fixtures for this show, and I was like, Arsenal Man United, there was a couple of other ones that were like, that's okay, we could talk about, but let's look at some Premier League next week instead. Thing about Arsenal is they're coming up against a United team that have won 7 in a row under Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and their form has been so patchy for a couple of months, Arsenal's, but they beat Chelsea 2-0 last week, Bernard. So are you a little bit worried as a Man United fan?
No, I'm actually delighted, believe it or not. It's great to see players smile on their faces, the fans, whatever it is. Now, we did question Solskjaer, and I said prior to the Spurs game, I thought it was a massive game for him. I thought the way they went about their business, okay, the goalkeeper having an absolute humdinger was incredible. But if you look at it the way they are, I just think playing players in the right places, having the right attitude, really creating a culture that is enjoyable, and you know, having big name players that were causing a bit of trouble, pull them with you. I just think it's good for United going forward. I don't think this squad or this team will win a premiership. Absolutely not, no matter how well he does. Even next year, I think there'll still have to be changes, particularly defensively, but overall for United, I think the big thing for United and Solskjaer is the top four. If you can get into the top four, that's a monumental achievement. So FA Cup, take it or leave it. Champions League, yes. I think they could do surprise one or two in the Champions League.
Neymar got injured, didn't he, last night in the game as well?
You know, so that's a big blow to PSG. But looking at it, what can they achieve? What success now? Top four, they're only a few points away. That is the ultimate and only goal.
Declan, I'll get the price off you in a second. Just one question based on what you said, Bernard, there, playing players in their right positions. Alan, throughout your career, were you ever played out of position?
Yeah.
Yeah, so like your normal position, holding midfielder, I'm guessing, ball playing midfielder. Where were you played out of position and how much did it affect you?
Wide right, wide left. Then I suppose them days it wasn't like, it's so fashionable now that everyone plays 4-3-3. So them days, if you're playing wide right and wide left, it was like a left winger, a right winger, and it was a proper shift up and down and helping the fullback and all that kind of stuff.
That wouldn't suit you. I've seen you play Astro. That wouldn't suit you.
It didn't suit me, Shane. No,
still has the touches, the delicate touches.
The touches are
okay, but the out fitness levels. But sometimes you just have to do that. Like I played in a team with Shelburne who were winning leagues, and I couldn't get in. Well, the manager wouldn't pick me centre midfield, so I had to take the place I was getting was wide right at times and sometimes wide left. So sometimes that can be a scenario as well where you just have to be happy to be playing in the team. But certainly, as Bernard said, going back to Pogba, and like, he had a relationship with Solskjaer. I wouldn't be as big as fan Pogba, but certainly he knows how to get the best out of him. And I think that's important when you do have the best players. You look at the example with Chelsea and Sarri and Hazard at the moment. He's not getting the best out of Hazard because he's playing him in the wrong position. And if he's your big number one player in the dressing room, you should be doing everything to keep him happy and then worry about the rest of the fellas, in my opinion.
Did you throw your toys out of pram when you were played by
it,
right?
No.
Is it more down to the personality, or is it easier to do when teams are chugging along nicely, you know, you're sort of functional in that team? Say like Milner playing fullback for Liverpool.
Yeah, see, he's a different character.
That's the thing, is it character or is it based more on how the team plays? If it's getting the best out of you or if it's getting the best out of the team, do you think Pogba would, or various other players in that United team would have as much of a whinge?
See, I think the problem, it probably does come back to personalities because there's such egos now, Declan, and particularly the likes of Pogba, Hazard. I don't think Hazard is a bad apple, but certainly Pogba would be the type that it'd be all about him. Whereas Milner is the complete opposite, the ultimate professional. He would do, he'd go on goals if you asked him, I'd say. He's a great lad. And I think it does come back to the characters and personalities. And then I suppose, then if you throw into the mix, the team is doing well. But I still think you'd have a lot of the big egos and the big players, even if the team is doing well, if they were out of position, they'd be still throwing their toys out of the pram. We see a lot of examples of that. I'd be against it. I'd be all for the likes of Milner. He's a great lad, a great player. So, yeah.
On what Israel was saying earlier, I wouldn't agree that there's... I'd say there's a bit of buzz about this game, you know, because of the top four sort of charge, as Bernard mentioned. These two are going to be looking to get the better of each other at any stage. It's tight in the betting. 29-20 Arsenal, 5-2 to draw, and 33-20 about Manchester United. There's also the fact that Sanchez is supposedly back in. I don't know if he's back straight in the team or back involved. Who got the better of that deal? I think we might have talked about this before.
The Alexis Sanchez Mkhitaryan deal. Yeah. Mkhitaryan hasn't played much lately.
Both been absolutely disastrous.
Financially, rather than the two players.
Who got
the better of it.
Yeah, Sanchez so probably got a few quid. 400 grand a week.
Yeah.
20 million a year.
Here's one, Shane.
It is shocking.
Because I think if you look at, I suppose,
Ozil, 300 grand a week.
Yeah.
Like, look at his ad. 300.
But if you look at the likes of, since Solskjaer come in, and obviously he has them all happy now, are you convinced, though, that he's going to be the man?
Solskjaer?
Yeah.
No, I don't think so.
And actually, I'm not one bit.
Looking at the two of these teams, I thought it was interesting as well. There's probably a bit more of a positive buzz about both in terms of Arsenal looking like they have a better structure now, but they're still going back to, they've let your man Muslintat go. They've still gone back to having to give the manager total control by the looks of it. So has much changed except for the man in charge of Arsenal, and you could probably say the same about United. They're on an upward curve now, but essentially they're still sort of an unknown about their future, hoping for one man like Solskjaer or Pochettino to turn everything around. I'd say they're both strange clubs at the moment, sort of.
I think Emery has done well, to be fair to him, because of what he's inherited there. It was a bit of a mess when Wenger left, and obviously major defensive issues. I think he has had an impact. He needs to strengthen defensively, but certainly going forward, Aubameyang's been brilliant, Lacazette. I think he has had an impact. I've been impressed with Emery. Solskjaer has done everything has been asked of him, but I'm still not convinced if he's the man to take them forward.
Did you see the interview that Jose Mourinho did on beIN Sports last weekend? And he was talking about how, you know, Pep Guardiola comes in, he realises his fullbacks are absolute gack, so he goes out and he gets four fullbacks and he's backed. Jurgen Klopp, since he's come in, how many of the players were there before he arrived? So he's been backed, and, you know, like the price of the goalkeeper and Van Dijk at centre back as well. So is Solskjaer, if he stays there, right, and it's all honeymoon period at the moment, when he finds, you know, every manager goes through a rocky patch. How does he come through that? Also, will he be backed? Because they still need players at the back in midfield, I would have said.
Well, if they're going to give him the permanent job, then they have to back him. That's when it comes in.
Will they back him to the same level as Pep and Jurgen, according to Jose Mourinho?
Well, Mourinho's interview was a disgrace, I thought.
Oh, yeah. It's hilarious.
It was absolutely, like, delusional. Because he spent over 400
right
million himself, Bernard. And the first thing he was going on about was Guardiola and Klopp. As if he hadn't a penny to spend.
You see, he's gone to a place mentally, and he's so consumed by himself. I said in the show strongly he would be sacked a couple of months ago. Remember we were discussing early, that. I can see it. And I can see Sarri. Sarri is gone. Sarri will not last in Chelsea. He's gone.
Are you comparing Sarri and Mourinho what they've did as like for like?
No, I think what Sarri did, and I watched the press conference, I think that was wrong. In the Premiership.
Where he said his players aren't fighters,
I have a little bit of a different view on that. But
tell me where anyone has done that has worked.
No,
it will come. He's on the slippery slope.
One thing you would say is they've backed him bringing in Higuain. They're clearly going to let a few of these players go.
I think Sarri's been brilliant since he's come in. Yeah. Now, just at the moment, he's let himself down with playing Hazard out of position and the Kante thing. And he's been, a lot of them, what happens when they make these decisions, they have to stick by their guns, because even though everybody else from the outside is saying, that's wrong.
Mourinho was doing the same, playing players out of position.
Wenger did it as well. They almost become, like, block everything out. And it's just, if you look at the one with Sarri where he criticised the players, Bernard, I agree, once you start criticising them publicly, it's a slippery slope.
They have too much power.
But the only thing where I have a little bit of sympathy with him is these have done this before Chelsea. They've done it with Ranieri, they've done it with Conte. So there's an element to that group where they're a little bit kind of bad apples amongst the group there, because if they decide to down tools, which is a disgrace, the manager suffers. Now, is Sarri ballsy to stand up to that and say, I'm going to go for them?
The club is a basket case, by and large. Yeah. It is a basket case.
But what about this? Didn't Chelsea beat Man City 2-1 in December?
Chelsea have been good.
But who played up front? Hazard. He played as the false nine. So it shows it can be successful if the team is actually playing to its potential.
It definitely does.
So is it Sarri's fault that he has him out of position, or the player's fault for not playing as well as they did against City?
Yeah, you would say motivation is the problem. It definitely does work. We've seen his Napoli team last year when, was it Milik he had playing in that same position? Mm. Similar kind of player. So,
well, he had three, Dries Mertens, Callahan to the right.
Sorry, Mertens it was,
Insigne as well. Yeah. Three little fellas. He likes that. So he has Pedro, Villa and Hazard. But Hazard, to me, is the best in the league in his right position. Playing him up there, I was at a game last year, Man City-Chelsea, and they played him up there. Now, Man City dominated the ball. Conte was in charge at the time. And he didn't get a kick. He might as well be sitting beside, and he was throwing the hands. He was going, and I felt so sorry for that, because here's your best player, and you might as well say, well, we're playing with 10.
The problem is, he probably wants away as well. He's done his,
I don't think he does.
Do you not think so? No. I think he's done his time. I think he's done loves his time
London.
At Chelsea.
He loves London, yeah. And the whole anonymity is
anonymity.
Anonymity.
He didn't learn that word in Leeds.
He does. He loves that in London, because he doesn't get hassled, or he can do what he wants. If he goes to Madrid and the pressure on him and all, because I was sure they would have taken him, but he's come out. I don't think he wants to go.
You're reminding me of the elocution lessons my sister took when she was young, and she used to come in and go, this, that, these and those. That's the way the TH goes. Alan, we'll send you off on a course.
Thank you,
the value on this game, there's double odds on winning first goal scores if your player scores in the first 20 minutes. So it'll be very dependable on how the teams line up. Are either of them bothered with the FA Cup? I'd imagine both of them would have to think top four and a trophy is an option for them. So I would think both of them should go for this to an extent. If Rashford starts, for me, I can't see anyone outside Rashford. I think he's been absolutely brilliant. He's 5-1 to get the first goal.
Well, that's an example then of good management again. Yeah. You know, yeah. Look at the difference with him.
What's the betting in the game?
29-20 Arsenal, 5-2 the draw, and 33-20.
There's been no goalless draw for 5 years between them.
Both these will go for this. Absolutely, they go for it.
And as well, Arsenal have won this competition 3 of the past 5 seasons, so they do like it.
Every single year, that's all Wenger had to fall back on, though. Yeah, so they were absolutely piling in to try and win that. You have interesting markets just on the goal scorers then, or the sort of goals in the game. Both teams to score in the first half is 14-5.
So you like that one,
it's not bad considering, as you said, it's not been a scoreless event. I'd be more along the lines, I think Manchester United win this, pure and simple for me. Even if they do rest a couple of players, they're more on the up than Arsenal. Arsenal had excellent start to the season. They've sort of plateaued a little bit now. Thought that Chelsea win was definitely questionable. The few players coming in, you won for Arsenal, you imagine they're going to bring a couple of lads from the bench in. I'd still have
questionable against Chelsea.
Yeah, Chelsea were so poor that I don't know if I can.
But a lot of it was down to how well Arsenal pressed them. They were very good the other night. Good.
I couldn't see how before the game I was tweeting. I couldn't see how Arsenal would create
chances.
Played
really well.
Yeah, because like the Guendouzi in midfield. Who else did they have in midfield? Xhaka was in there.
Torreira
as well. And I was how are they going to create chances with Guendouzi on the
Chelsea
right?
Chelsea were poor, but I think
to
a lot
get
of
that
it
reaction from Sarri though, you would have to think. I mean, he wouldn't be slamming them unless he thought they were so far below the level.
Yeah, they were flat and off the pace, but I think a lot of, like, sometimes you can focus too much on the negative of one team and you not give the other team. I thought Arsenal played really well, and I wouldn't be their biggest fan at all, but I do think Emery's done well, and I think the pressure they put on Chelsea tonight was very good.
One that's just a little bit big for me here, I know I mentioned both teams to score in the first half, it's just one matching your sort of goals connection, but one I thought was too big: draw half time Man United full time 11-2. It's well over 5-1. It's far too big for a game like this. As I said, it should be tight. I think United just come away with
it. And Arsenal not great in the first half throughout the season as well.
Exactly.
Bernard, neck on the block here. Who's going to win?
The betting that actually surprises me. There's nothing in it. Like, it's virtually, which I find a bit surprising. I actually think Solskjaer, he'll keep it going. I don't think he's going to rest that many.
No, he has to go for it.
I actually, I think in 33-20, am I right in that?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great
good
bet.
Price, yeah.
Great
Alan?
Bet. United to win at 33-20.
Yeah, I think I'd fancy United here as well, and he'd carry on the run, because in fairness, he said, like, regardless of the opposition, because that's what everyone throws back at them while they were playing nobody, regardless of the opposition, to win 7 games on the bounce is fairly good going.
Do you know what I thought was brilliant? His interview after the match when De Gea against Spurs had an absolute blinder.
Yeah.
He was so honest, and when he said we were lucky at certain parts, blah blah blah, he's been very refreshing and very honest and upfront, and he doesn't get carried away, and there's a smile on his face the whole time.
It's a win-win scenario for him, realistically. He's a job even when he finishes, you know what I mean, going
it's
back to Monday if he doesn't stay with United. So it's a win-win for him.
His value has gone through the roof.
I was going to say his stock is rising for probably another
hugely.
Bigger job in Europe.
Hugely.
And I think as well, up to now it's all been about people. It's been very simplistic in review, saying, oh well, all he's done is come in and put a smile on their face and let them play. tactically against Spurs, they were really, really good in the first half. And that that impressed me massively, in the sense that when they're away on the trip, I think they were in Dubai for the warm weather training. They obviously worked very hard on stuff during the week and implemented it on the Sunday, because they exploited Spurs very much so at the back and in the full backs.
Very hard work in Dubai, isn't it? Playing soccer. Great pitches. Treated like royalty.
But the GAA team's going warm weather training now whenever they
work. And they get banned for it.
They get banned for it.
They're suspended and fined.
Yeah, Watford don't have a home game this weekend because of it.
That's right.
Yeah,
they got a ban.
In the hurling.
Yeah.
They have to play Offaly in Thurles, I think. United against Burnley then on Tuesday as well. Like, we'll move on from the FA Cup because most of the games aren't that romantic. Well, certainly not as much as they'd like
There's
us to think.
A few potential upsets in there, mind you. The likes of,
go I mean,
we,
FA
we,
Cup.
No, well, we talked about Everton. we talked about Everton Millwall. You were a big Everton fan. And a big
was he?
Yeah, well, a big, what's the manager, Silva? Big Silva fan he is. I said it about a month ago. I'd have big questions over him. So there's your upset. Millwall to beat Everton.
Nah.
Millwall, who play long ball after long. There's a friend of mine who works the beat, the Millwall beat. He's a reporter with the News at Den over there as well.
He's not in his
own. I thought you meant he works the beat. He's a policeman.
No!
That's what I thought you meant as well.
That's a tough job.
You probably want to be qualified as a policeman to work in that area.
I thought that's what you meant.
No.
The way you said it as well. I'm thinking you'd want to be a tough boy to be working there on the beat.
And he'd want plenty of friends around him.
We're all struggling to communicate here. But he says it's just like the ball. It's just like watching a tennis match. The ball just flies up and down one end of the field to the other and they look for the breaks. Will Everton be able to deal with that? Kurt Zouma at the back? Jeez, he'll have a headache from heading the ball, I'd say.
He's under a bit of pressure, that manager, but I think they'll beat Millwall.
Yeah. Any more romance before we move on?
No, we'll leave it there.
United against Burnley then. So, as big and all as the cup is for them, they want to keep winning in the league because that top four is there for them.
When he arrived, I actually was on record saying, forget about the top four. There's not a hope. They were that bad.
In
fairness to him, he's done some
job.
They're
a big price. They've shortened up massively. They're into it nearly about.
I think three points behind.
Yeah, I think we talked about 2-1 last week or something like that.
To make the top four,
they would have been tens or more before. Yeah,
especially with the teams ahead of them falling apart.
Yeah, I know they should do now. Yeah, they're on a hell of a run. And again, that's all due to. And as Bernard said, if they were to get top four, considering where they were at when he came in, I think that's a phenomenal job by Solskjaer.
Do you keep a close eye on Burnley with Jeff Hendricks there, with Ward and with Brady?
I wouldn't say a close eye, but you would check if they're playing or not, yeah.
They're not like, you know, Reading or Sunderland 10 years ago where everyone suddenly started supporting them.
But I actually like the manager more so than...
I think he's great. I actually love listening to him, and I'd say, you know, he's probably limited to a point, but he's brilliant.
Well, he gets every ounce out of himself and them, and he's honest.
So what do you like about him? How do they play? What is it about them that you like?
Well, I think the job that he's done, Dyche, since he's come in again, has been phenomenal, because the resources when he started with Burnley compares to where they are now, and they've even expanded on their training ground and all this while they've been remaining and establishing themselves in the Premier League, which is phenomenal, because the money that's on offer, as we all know, with the big boys, and we see now even with Huddersfield again, Wagner done a great job considering the resources, and obviously they're finding it difficult now. We done unreal to keep them up last year, look like they'll go down this year, so it just goes to show the task that they have. So for Dyche to be heading along the lines of making these like an established Premier League team, I think he's done a phenomenal job.
Do you think his stock has fallen a little bit?
Well, it did because of the bad run, but they're after having three wins on the bounce now again.
I wonder sometimes when you see a manager like that, he doesn't play the most fashionable football. And say, compare him with Eddie Howe, which happens a lot, the two of them.
Yeah.
Howe has stayed at Bournemouth long enough now, and he's sort of been linked to bigger and better things constantly. Dyche has probably been the opposite. The longer he stays at Burnley, I'm not sure he gets linked with bigger jobs.
Last year he had an unbelievable chance to go to Everton, which would have been a huge job. And I'm saying at the time, take it, because you'll never get a better opportunity. And then this season they were struggling. And as you say, Deck, all his stock had fallen, and now he wouldn't be linked with the likes of that job. So sometimes timing can be everything too, and maybe jump at the opportunity. But I think he's done a phenomenal job, and I love the honesty that he goes about his business as well.
Do you reckon United to win this?
Yeah.
At home?
1-4 to do so. So
United at home?
So. Yeah. 19-4 the draw, 11-1 Burnley. Not much of a market for maybe Manchester United, both teams to score. You might prefer them to win 2-0, but both teams to score, Manchester United to win about 15-8.
And 2-0, what are the United 2-0?
Flag that up there in a moment, actually.
Well, Man United and over 2.5 goals is 3-4, so wouldn't be surprised if United got 2 or 3 and maybe Burnley even to get 1 as well.
Just a shade of odds on to win to, or odds against, I should say, to win to 0, 21-20.
Final game that I wanted to look at now. I know you might want to throw in a couple of more tips just before we move on from the football. But Liverpool-Leicester. Liverpool seem to be stuttering somewhat, but still winning. You know, so that 4-3 result there recently as well.
I think people are looking for a stutter rather than actually them stuttering.
They're going to stutter.
Right, so they conceded something like...
Man City's going to win it. Man City's going to win the league.
Liverpool had conceded something like, was it 7 goals in the first 14 or 15 games, and now all of a sudden they're conceding a lot of goals. You can't ignore that.
Well, what's a lot? Just the 3 against...
Well, just 3 the other day. They had a couple against City as well, and yeah.
That's it.
There you go. I got to look up the table. Oh, damn it, I've been exposed.
The only thing, Lady Luck is on their side. Like, they were very lucky with a couple of goals the other day. Oh, they were lucky, deflections and things.
Yeah, yeah. The keeper threw one into the net at the end.
That's horrendous.
That's the third. Poor El Tarani.
His first chance in a long time. He'll never get a chance again.
Gabber Cry, yeah.
Spironi, wasn't it?
Spironi was.
Easy to mix them up.
Yeah,
them up with
two as bad as each other.
Can't be blaming poor Al Gabber Crowley for something. You'd have known by the tracky buttons he would have had anyway.
I know what you're saying, Shane, yeah, and it's probably fair judging on their last 2 or 3 games, but they're getting the wins. And I think it will be jittery and nervous. That's only natural because it's been so long, but I think they'll get it done, Bernard.
Do you know what I thought was brilliant? The Leicester Wolves match the other day, the reaction of the two managers. On the winning goal, the difference on both managers was...
And he got banned. He got banned.
The Leicester manager, did you see him go?
He went
crazy.
Last week, we gave Chuck a mention of this last minute in. I went both teams to score, Wolves to win. Mm-hmm. And I said to you, I thought Puel was going to be sacked last week or it's going to end for him soon. Do you know what? There's 2 games this week. You've got Man City, Newcastle, and you've got Liverpool, Leicester. And I would actually say Man City have the harder job here. I think Leicester look worryingly bad now at the moment. It's just not going to work for Puel. He's gone sooner rather than later. I think Liverpool are going to win this comfortably, even with players. They've got a lot of players missing. We talked about this with Liverpool already, but Milner's suspended now. Fabinho came off injured in that game.
Alexander-Arnold's out.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's back. Matip has gone back in there, which I don't think we expected at the time, but I think even with all of these players missing, Leicester, they just look so leaky. If Liverpool do their thing, hold on to the ball, maybe shore up. I mean, you won't have Zaha against Milner, which was essentially why that game was so good last week. I think Leicester are in trouble here. 1-5 Liverpool, which is a bit surprising given the fact that it was close last time. 11-2 to draw, and then 14-1 about Leicester.
Like, they're having to dig a little deeper into the squad. Camacho's been used a couple of times as well at right back. So
who, Liverpool?
Yeah,
only in the cup game really, and then I think it's a sub once or twice
there last week against.
Yeah, last 5 minutes when Milner was sent off, I think.
But still, in all, it just shows that all of a sudden there's. Surely he's a very young player. It's a drop off from Milner, even if he's not right back.
Yeah, again, going back to the FA Cup and the break, they're away now for 11 days, so that's ideal for them. Like, when they got beat by Wolves in the FA Cup, everyone was criticising Klopp. It's worked out like a dream now. They've 11 days off, whereas Man City were playing again last night. They've a cup game at the weekend, so all that adds up and builds up.
Given a few days off, Alan? Would be given a few days to chill, relax, get away 2-3 days
in Dubai?
No, on their own in the 11 days. Do you think there's any time off for guys like that? You know the way the Germans take Christmas off for 2 weeks or whatever. The guys, Ruberry goes off mad doing silly stuff. But are they allowed 3 or 4 days off?
I'd say Klopp.
The gold steak. Yeah, £1,000 wasn't it for the steak?
That was brilliant stuff. That was.
Oh, he got
some advertising in the restaurant.
Golden steak.
Type in gold steak into Twitter. We'll come back to you in a minute now.
Do you know what? To be fair to El Ruberry, he's not the only one. He got pelters. I think that's what he was sort of alleging at the time. He's been about the 10th footballer to put that up, but he's the one that got all the stick for it.
Yeah, whatever it is, he's a lightning.
Klopp would look after him, and he's coming from the mindset and mentality of giving fellas a break at Christmas.
Did anyone see Warnock lately in his couple of interviews?
Neil Warnock.
Oh, my God.
Brexit.
To hell with the rest of the world in front of the Visit Malaysia sign. That was hilarious. I know a lot of people said that already.
Just on the Dubai trip away, I always find them a bit strange. Like what, are they gone for a couple of days? They're not gone for... It's 11 days. Is it a week? I'm not sure. Just seems a strange one mid-season to be going away. You would have thought, settle down, do your...
That's exactly what they need. Yeah, exactly. Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, for them to have that 11 days off now and come back and play against
Leicester... Poor bodies need a bit of sun.
Of course they do, yeah. And over there, he probably gave them 2 or 3 days off, Bernard.
Poor devils, you know what I mean?
When you were at Leeds and Sheffield Wednesday or any of the League of Ireland clubs, did you ever have that midway through the season?
Not midway through, no. Pat Fellin used to do a lot of it at Chels, try and get away for warm weather training pre-season.
Booze up, was it?
No, not with Pat.
No,
absolutely not. Pat was the most professional manager.
But you tried your best to sneak in a few pints.
You might get in the odd few drinks at the end of the week, but the reason they'd be doing it, Shane, because
sneaky night.
You could train 2 or 3 times a day.
So, and was it a horror show when you had those camps?
No.
Physically,
brilliant.
I mean. You know, as in you were wrecked from...
A lot of it, like, they'd use it to focus on the technical side, because you might... The pitches may be here or whatever, or the weather's bad or whatever. So if you get away, obviously use it to your advantage, and warm weather, good pitches, train and work on things.
Mm. Declan?
Yeah, just to flag up a few more bets in this game then. You've got both teams, the score looks nailed on, I would have thought, 19-10.
Oh, it's gone up to 19-10.
Up to about 19 for both teams to score. You're not even picking a result.
Liverpool-Leicester?
Yeah, just both teams to score in the game, 19-10. I would suggest concentration isn't there for Leicester. I could see them getting a goal early. You could see that by the 4-3.
I'm surprised he's still there, Puel.
Yeah, I think he's gone soon. As I said, I thought he was
the cup
gone last
one killed
week.
Him, Newport, as well.
Yeah.
He was under pressure. That's madness.
They're still ninth.
Yeah, but this is the thing, though. It falls back all the time with these kind of managers. When you're not watching Leicester every week and there's no connection clearly with the fans. It happened with Pulis after a while. It happens with all these managers who just basically don't excite the fans. And it's fair enough. I mean, you're paying good money to get in and watch your team. Just one more to flag up then. Liverpool to win from behind. That's Leicester to grab a goal maybe early on and Liverpool to kick on after that. Compared to everything else there, you're getting 8-1 on that. So I think that's probably your value in terms of something at a big price.
Just one question before we move on to the GA. How come Wilfred Zaha hasn't been snapped up by now, and Jamie Vardy as well? Surely for any title winning team he would be a great option to have.
Vardy turned down Arsenal.
I know he did, but like, even still, you think someone would come in and say we could like even Chelsea, imagine the pace in behind.
Well, they did that. They bought the rest of that team
last week.
They bought the rest of that team, Chelsea. Yeah, that's Drinkwater true.
Zaha's electric. Yeah, he'll be the one that'll go. Vardy won't. He'll stay where he is now.
Like, it didn't work for Zaha at United, but he's proven since.
I was only young as well, in fairness to him,
and was under Moyes.
Yeah, and I think he got to know Moyes fairly well, didn't he? By all accounts, allegedly.
Well, apparently he says those alleged things were false. Wilfred Zaha did.
Well, luckily he didn't say what those things are. He's class. Is there anything he doesn't have? Mentality, maybe? Because, you know, he seems to be.
He's still young enough as well, isn't he?
He's crowing about fouls an awful lot. I know he does get the treatment.
He does get the treatment, as you said. But
you're 6 foot, probably two, and you're built accordingly. Just dish it back out.
Yeah,
come on, man up.
Yeah. Anyway, he is a good player,
we'll move on to the GAA as well. So the league is starting this weekend, and I'm sure you're all as buzzing as I am.
Football and hurling.
Football and hurling. Woohoo! Big ball and small.
I'm really looking forward. And thanks be to God, all the nonsense about rules, hand pass, Parky Kiev, every bloody thing.
Where did you stand on the hand pass rule, Bernard?
If you listen to the last few, you'll find out.
Just quickly, 60 seconds. The committee that was sent up must take responsibility. Yes, the hand pass and something has to be done, but to come up with three hand passes, if you know technically and you know any knowledge about the game itself, you wouldn't come up with three hand passes. You wouldn't. It can't be done. And I was up covering Tyrone and Derry a couple of weeks, 2 weeks ago. I'm doing Monaghan and Dublin on Sunday. And if I was to go this Sunday to listen to the referees shout, they were shouting, Alan, they were so obsessed and paranoid, they were shouting one, two, loud in front of two, and then three. And by the time the player got the ball on the third hand pass, he was panicking.
Spooked.
It was complete spooked. It was carnage. It was ridiculous. So the referee has a tough job in the GAA. A big pitch, 15 aside, 150 yards long, whatever, 40 metres long, 88 wide. What did they do? What did the GAA do? They completely make a dog's dinner and make it more carnage and more confusing and harder to ref. Mm. That's all they've done.
Is there an element that the players should be able to get to grips with something like this, with three hand passes? It shouldn't be.
Now, I'm going to hold Bernard back.
I know. I'm playing devil's advocate here, but it will affect the game massively. But is there an element that
don't hit him, Bernard? No.
It's a little bit disappointing that they can't get a week or two in without, you know, to see if it works, which I don't think it does. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
The game can't. It can't. You can't. The way defences and tackling is better. Defenders are genuinely better in that, and the way they're set up and the systems they have in defence, they're hard enough to break down at the best of times. But three hand passes was a disaster. I could go through all the great scores. Our goal against Dublin is one of the most iconic ones in 91. There was nine
hand passes.
Sorry, it was six. Six hand passes
leading up to the goal.
Leading up to the goal. Would have been gone. Some of the great scores would have been. You just can't be done on the third hand pass. What it did do, Declan, was, and I actually done my own stats on it, it was forcing small, short, little tippy foot passes. They were an excuse for a hand pass, and it forced more foot passes back. My one, and I said it a number of months ago here on the show, what they should have done was when you crossed the 45, you couldn't go back. I think that's the big problem. Back to the goalkeeper. Watch Armand and Tyrone the other night. How many balls, 30, 40 yards back, backwards. That's what's killing it. They are effectively hand passes.
No back pass to the goalkeeper would reward the high press.
Absolutely.
I think that in isolation on its own would change the game.
Yeah, I agree with you.
This weekend then, Monaghan Dublin. I was going to start with the hurling, but let's start with the football because you're going to it. So the Dublin C team, effectively, and some would even suggest the D team, played in the O'Byrne Cup and they got to the final, lost to Westmeath. Fair enough. this is the first outing for the Dublin, whatever Dublin team takes to the field. It'll be the vast majority of players who haven't had an outing this year. Maybe one or two from the O'Byrne Cup will play.
I just want to say, Declan,
do you not give Dublin or Monaghan a good chance at home because of that?
I absolutely do. I think this is one. I think Monaghan could beat Dublin this weekend. A couple of reasons. First of all, I want to say I stopped the show last week to tell everybody about Westmeath would beat Dublin.
It was one of the naps that came. A few naps that came in.
Westmeath were the burner.
Westmeath beat Dublin C. What a shock.
D. Three stroke D.
Yeah.
And they were terrible. I don't mind saying it. Dublin were dreadful.
So, but it was their C team, was it?
Yeah,
yeah, that's pretty much.
That should be, like, they were so bad.
There's a couple of lads who weren't seed. Like Conor Mullally's been in panels, for example.
Yeah, and Aaron Bourne, maybe one or two. But Westmeath were very good. Going back to the match, and a great win for them, and Jack Cooney, I have to say, I think Monaghan have a great chance this weekend. Fenton and Kilkenny are not playing. They're two most influential players and best players by a long way. If you like, with Jack McCarthy, maybe.
Kilkenny is jumping off cliffs every time I see him on Instagram.
Yeah, the same as that.
He's in Australia at the moment.
A coral reef photographer.
Clips, I've seen a few clips, all right. That
he's
maybe
enjoying
Jim
himself.
Might
there you go. That's your Instagram game is going to have to be up to that, Shane.
Yeah. Follow that, Shane Saint.
I think Monaghan will kick on with Malachy O'Rourke. They didn't, the first round last year, they scored 12 points against Mayo. Dublin, 217 last year against Kildare in the first round. Invariably, Dublin hit the ground running. I'm not so sure with the 5-in-a-row Jim Gavin, is that pushed this year? Because it doesn't look like Dermot Connolly's coming back. Keane O'Sullivan, to me, is in a bit of trouble injury-wise. Philly McMahon, a few of the other players.
James McCarthy, I think, is recovering
James McCarthy as well. There's a lot of miles in the clock, a lot of injuries. If anything happens, Fenton or Kilkenny or both, they will not win the 5 in a row.
They won the 4 in a row without Jeremy Connolly.
Yeah, I know that, but he's not going to be there. These two.
But sure, he was their main man.
No, I tell you, players. Fenton's on big. A different level than Kilkenny. Combine those two together. They're not playing this weekend.
Yeah, no, I've watched Fenton play for Raheny, and Raheny are sort of a Midland, at the moment, a Midland senior team in Dublin.
I've watched Fenton play for Dublin.
And Brian Howard as well. And
he's a great player.
Yeah, he's class. They're both absolutely class with Dublin. But when they're in a team where they're not surrounded by brilliant players, they can't impact the game half as strongly. So I watched them basically have no impact against Ballyboden during the middle of the last year. So what I'm trying to say is that even if those two aren't in the team, you'll have 13 brilliant players all around them, and whoever goes into their position, maybe they're not quite as good as Howard and Kilkenny, but they'll still have a fairly good impact, and I don't think that Dublin are going to fall off a cliff because of it.
I think Monaghan have to be ready for a savage assault on beating Dublin this weekend. They have to build on
the semi-final. Do they need it mentally?
They're the team. People forget one thing. They should have beaten Tyrone. Tyrone got the goal near the end, against the run of play, and I think it hurt a lot of Monaghan players and management. They should have been in that Ireland final, would have been huge. They weren't. I think you'll see a big improvement. Full squad. I just think it's one where Dublin could be caught. What's the betting, Declan? I think it's
how many counties, Bernard, do you mind me asking here? Sorry, Declan. How many counties, because you're sitting there, even Dublin may look towards the league and say, well, look, we'll concentrate in the chance. How many counties do you think realistically should target the league and try and win it? Who don't have a realistic chance of winning a championship?
This weekend, the difference, the league is the championship for 70 to 80% of the county teams.
Very true.
And I love the league format because you have the same level of teams competing against you every week. It's brilliant.
Well, I would ask the value for money and the entertainment value in the league. If you judged Gaelic football and the matches you go to, and be honest and fair, there'll be more good games than bad games. The problem with the game at the moment is it's contaminated and it's has been destroyed, not by rules or hand passes, by the negative coaches that come in and con people, for a better word.
Oh, geniuses.
So-called geniuses. Mm. And changed our game, Alan. I don't mind it evolving, but some of the stuff I've watched, and this is where the problem with supporters with bums and seats, some of the stuff I've watched that people can't watch anymore is down to a select small number of coaches and managers who've basically destroyed the game. I think there's a will to change. I think it started last year, the back end of last year, and I think in the league you'll see they should be called out. Supporters shouldn't take it, county boards and players. If there's no coaching, it's just 15 men behind the ball, it's not enjoyable and it's a dreadful spectacle, let's call them out. But I think the league is brilliant. It's actually super.
You've got 5-2 for Monaghan, 15-2 about the draw, and 2-5. 3 points in the handicap. And when you consider, I think we talked about it last week when we did some of the anti-post markets. Monaghan one team to beat Dublin in the league last year. What was the points? I think it was about 5 points in the end. So you're talking about an 8 point
in Croke Park.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Jackson Cairns, super lob over the goalie.
So it would have
been. But I'm. Get all over Monaghan. 5-2.
5-2 is brilliant as well. Do you know what was interesting? There was an article, for, I think it was in the Irish News, and Derry's Kieran McFaul was interviewed. And he spent last summer out in, I think it was Boston as well, playing for the Donegal team that Stephen Connolly came out and played for. Sure. And he, those quotes where he talked about how he came in and he changed, like Connolly came in and said, what's all this hand passing? And basically encouraged them all to do kick passing a lot more, and it changed how they played. And he also talked about how Connolly's diet was absolutely supreme and that he did yoga every day, and you could see why he was on the next level. So I'm sure that's absolutely ubiquitous in the Dublin setup as
well. I know a couple of guys out there that actually were astounded at his attitude, his application, his skill set, and people who watched him closely and worked with him on a daily basis couldn't believe his technical ability at kicking a ball. He blew them away. He scored 12 points out of 17 in the final.
Will he be back this year? Because there's no word yet that
this
he's back.
This is the big one. I'm glad you brought up. I was going to come. From what I'm led to believe, and I do not know, and he can listen to sound bites, it looks like he's not going to be back.
Wow.
The goalkeeper?
No, Connolly.
Dear McConnolly.
Oh, sorry, sorry.
Connolly's not going to be back. That is the word. And do you know what Dublin don't do? Dublin won't just pounce Connolly in the middle of the season. Jim Gavin does not operate like that. It's obvious the team and Gavin didn't want him. That's the bottom line. He went to America. He wasn't wanted. End of story. I know he might have wanted a bit of time away. He wasn't wanted by the squad. Dress it up whatever way you like.
But I think that's where Jim Gavin is an unbelievable manager.
He's been phenomenal.
Because it's about the group, about the team, and if there's one fella, and I'm not saying he's playing up, but if there's someone playing up and he's affecting the team, if he has been, well then it's all about the team. And look at the success they've had. And as you said there, Shane, that didn't have him last year but they still won the All-Ireland. I think they'll be fine.
If he's not in the Dublin football panel this year, Matty Kenny should actually have a discussion with him for the hurlers, because he's such a phenomenal athlete. And I've seen him hurl in the past couple of years. And I remember one time, I think it was 2014 championship, he scored 5 from play against us from full forward.
He's a good hurler as well.
Yeah, once you put that ball in his hand, he's hard to stop. Now, he needs to get a lot of hurling into him for inter-county level because the touch needs to be just right. Yeah. But if anyone could do it...
It looks like it's the end.
That'd be pretty sensational, wouldn't it?
Oh, it'd be incredible. Yeah. But then again, Matty's putting a lot on the line if he invests into him, because you nearly have to play him at that stage.
And what did the group
and you're taking,
there you go.
And what, you know, you're taking on, something goes wrong, I'm not sure he'll do it. It looks like the end, which I think is so sad. I loved watching him. It does look like the end for his inter-county career, and it's a pretty sad enough
it
way.
It is, yeah, because he's been phenomenal.
I'm not saying it is, but to me, if you're a betting man now, I think he's finished with Dublin.
Monaghan half-time, full-time is 6-1. If you fancy Dublin to have a slow start, because as I was saying, this probably
that's
is
unbelievable.
All of their first game of the year.
5-2, I think, is massive. I agree with you, Bernard.
If you think that Dublin will start slowly, but like they so often do, pull through in the second half, Monaghan half-time, Dublin full-time is 9-2. So there's definitely some
value there, Declan.
Definitely.
So when you were saying that he had a C team out in that match last week, and in this match now he played all the big boys will be back, will they?
Not all of them, but good few.
The subs that have been there.
So how many of a panel is training with this Dublin squad? Fuck. If you have a C team last week, who were obviously training all together, and then you're putting out your best team this week, another 20-25 fellas.
But Alan, even beyond that, maybe they have 40-50 players, something like that, right? Even beyond that, there is such a culture of really strong clubs in Dublin. I would say there are 4 or 5 clubs in Dublin whose strength and preparation, like inter-county level preparation, is up there with Division 3 and 4 clubs. So they are so deep. Like, they've got such strength and depth throughout the county, it's ridiculous.
But what has changed, though?
And Dublin, I say that as a positive, by the way.
Dublin always had strong clubs. But do not underestimate, I do not believe he's got the credit he deserved. You don't necessarily have to like him, Jim Gavin. By God, do I respect.
He's phenomenal.
What he's done, the culture. I was actually doing a good bit of prep for my column this weekend and doing a bit of work of the weekend on the match, Dublin Monaghan. I had clippings of Jim Gavin in 2013 and his quotes. And they're the exact same, even before he started to win the All-Irelands. What the culture that he wanted to actually develop and encourage, and he set down the rules. It was amazing. I just think what he's done and handled the top superstars, what he's got out of them, their attitude, that relentless attitude to improve, no matter what they've won. I know what it is. When you win a few All-Irelands, you can drop a little bit complacent. That has never happened.
But can I ask, Bernard, because I'm in total agreement. I love Jim Gavin. I think he's
phenomenal job, Alan.
Why would people not like him?
Just the way he talks in the media, you know, like he'll tell you black is white and white is black.
Why would people not like? Why would people not have liked Ferguson?
Some people would find him quite smug and stuff like that. You know,
I think he conducts himself absolutely brilliant. There's never trouble, never hassle, never rubbish.
Do you think the journalists like him? No, they don't. But I'm just—it's irrelevant
because he doesn't tell them what they want to hear.
Exactly.
No, you see, it's because he comes across now, and I'm not saying this is necessarily how I feel, but he does come across as disingenuous. You ask him a question, and he deflects a lot. A lot of them find. A lot of them find the manner very, very smug, smarmy, and unnecessary.
That's what they do. I've spoken.
I have to say, that's the journalist point of view.
And I'm not saying it's necessarily me because I've bumped into him once or twice.
But would that be a journalistic view?
Yes,
he's a smashing bloke.
But I tell you, I bumped into him away from it, and you know, absolutely fine. So I'm not saying that I think, you know, ill of him.
Well, me saying just as a fan, this is watching how it comes across, and you hear the interviews afterwards and whatever, and the way the success and all, he's unbelievable.
Yeah, but I'm just telling you that.
And I don't think he ever comes across like that.
Well, I'm telling you, there's plenty of people that have said it to me anecdotally that they don't particularly like him. But again, I'm just giving
Declan, what's the betting for the five in a row? I'd love to hear that one. I really would.
I haven't got it on me. I'll have a look at that a bit further down the line. All right.
Dub at this stage.
Well, he can walk on water. It's immortality. It's never been done in the history of Jay. And it's all there. More than likely, they're going to do it. And you know what? It doesn't. Jim Gavin. He can just, and you know what? He won't care. He'll have the same relentless, ruthless streak in him, going for six in a row.
Six, hey. Yeah. And that's what makes him brilliant.
Hey, it'll sicken Kerry people more than anyone. And to be fair, it's nice to see Kerry people sicken because they've such an attitude.
I'm dying to see how they're going to set up this
Kerry
weekend.
Against Tyrone just, this yes, weekend.
Just before, but there's one right. Say Kerry and Cork. Sorry, they had to jump. They would come across more like that to me than Dublin and Jim Gavin.
Yeah, I know, but it's the attitude of always trying to act like you're the smartest guy in the room. That is the perception.
I know that well.
And unnecessarily. And you'd have to conduct a few interviews to know what I'm talking about, I'd say.
There is a double odds offer on this game as well for your first goal scores. If your player scores in the first 20 minutes of the game, Dublin Monaghan will be paid out at double the odds. So look out for your first goal scores in our Irish shops. And that'll apply to plenty of games right throughout the league season. So check out.
Tell you one
weekly.
Thing, they're going to rip into them. Clonus and a big day is awesome, and these boys, when they get the bit between their teeth, and I hope they have it,
they chomp on it
and I'll tell you, it's going to be great first round of the league.
What's the price for Kerry Tyrone?
Kerry 10 to 11, draw 15 to 2, Tyrone 11 to 10, so very tight with 1 point in the handicap.
Tyrone is going
to
win it.
Are either of these All-Ireland contenders? Because you know Tyrone got to the final last year, but they weren't contenders when they were in it.
is there any such thing as a contender?
There really? Probably isn't.
I can't understand those odds. I actually can't.
You can't
for this game?
Yes.
For Kerry?
I can't.
Yeah. Well, they're missing Kerry's plenty of favorites. Players. They've guys That's away with incredible. Dr. Crokes. It's incredible. Peter Keane's first game. Even Tyrone won their seventh time in 8 years winning the McKenna Cup. Not that it matters, really. But they've got Darren McCurry back, Kyle Coney. I'm not necessarily... Like, when I saw Kyle Coney playing against Dublin in a league match 2014, I think it was, I was like... Right, I can see he's not necessarily getting out and winning his own ball for a huge man. And I could see why maybe it didn't work out for him. And he's brought him back. And even Darren McCurry as well. Bit of a flashy player. Has a lot of class. And I do like him. But are these players that are going to deliver against Dublin?
As of now, they're the closest. They're second. They're in the All-Ireland final.
Come on.
Now, Kyle Coney to me is not... I actually covered the match 2 weeks ago. I was disappointed. He was dropped after the Derry match for last weekend. He came on. He's not the same player at all. And yes, he's doing fairly well in club football. He's not the same player. Curry, will he make a big impact? I'm not so sure. He's gone for more size and physicality. Did I see a huge change in Tyrone against Armagh? 16-14, a pretty bruising affair. And a
red
lot of
cards
tension.
All round.
Yeah, absolutely. Not a huge difference. But in this game, and just being honest with you, I cannot see anything but a Tyrone victory. Their battle
down in Kerry.
Down in Kerry. Tyrone, I believe, will beat Kerry this weekend. But I'm more interested to see how the young players, who he picks and what way he's going to set them up and what's the style of play and what's their ambition for the
Peter event. Keane now you're
yes,
talking
absolutely.
About. Yeah. And he's probably going to bring in his brother who was over St. Finbar's, who won a county title in Cork, into his back room.
He got in after
well.
A very bad start. I just seen it in the paper again today about admitting that these players have found all the boys that were got rid of, and they found out not but through him, through a third party.
Yeah, he didn't contact them to say, look, you're
didn't
not
go down well at all.
Well, the way he put it is that... I wasn't over that team. So what I did is I came in and picked my panel rather than necessarily talking about the outgoing panel that was there. So I don't think, like, that's his explanation. I don't necessarily buy it.
Not acceptable. When the fellas have played 5, 10 years, whatever, yeah. Maybe you put a lot of hours and years into hard graft and work and more committed. They deserve better than
that. Yeah, I spoke about who Tyrone brought back. He's after bringing back Tommy Walsh, who of course was unbelievable back around 08, 09, went off to the AFL, tore his hamstring off the bone.
The light is him back.
Didn't really work out when he came back. Jonathan Lyon is back as well. He's played in an All-Ireland final as well, 2015, I think. Tommy Walsh coming back, is that going to be, like, I mean, Kieran Donaghy's gone as well, so it's pretty obvious what it seems like from the outside.
Well, Tommy has been playing very well at club. I called it out last year.
Cairns Rattlies.
Yeah, Cairns Rattlies. He's playing really well. He is 30, 31, you know, and he was very unlucky in Australia. 7 first-team games in 5 years. But before he left, he'd one of the great performances in the All-Ireland final against Cork. 4 points, two was off his left, 2 off his right, virtually man of the match, and then he was gone. I think he'd fill the void of Donaghy. They do like that outlet and have a little... They do need a bigger player. They're going to have a lot of young forwards. I think Tommy would be great for the young
guys. If he can stay fit.
If he can stay fit. That is the big thing. But I'm thrilled. Shawnee's dad is a great mate of mine. And I know Shawnee and Bear will be delighted. So I think it's great for him. But I just don't know what... Are they going to go for... Is he going to build for 2 or 3 years' time? Or is he going ball-headed for the champ this year? I'm not so sure. I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't.
The likes of Clifford isn't available for this match. No, I think there's a number of players. Well. Tyrone between 1 and 3 points. To win between 1 and 3 points is 3-1.
Great. Tyrone will win, and that is a great bet at 3-1.
Again, it's hard to find big value on this game. I had a look at a couple of the online markets and get something like Kerry to score first and lead at halftime, but Tyrone to win at 8-1. So competitive considering Kerry are at home. As you said, you'd fancy Tyrone to win it overall. So score first, lead halftime, Kerry and Tyrone to win it at 8-1.
Okay, so any other football bets before I move on to the hurling? Okay, we'll move on. Tipperary against Clare. Now, Tip hammered last week by Clare, 10 points in the Munster League final. I was obviously pretty upset about that because I want to see a new Tip, a new year, a new me, you know, all this
kind
of...
You didn't see it.
No, I didn't see it. No. But they lost by 10 points. And what happened last year was full back line left exposed, allowing the opposition to play on their terms, which is they draw out their half forward line and, you know, leave huge space behind, and Tipperary are just allowing that to happen, and they're trying to put us maybe at times let Paddy Maher drop back as centre back and cover just oceans of ground. And having played as a sweeper myself, and I know it's at club level rather than county, but it applies the same way. If you've got 90 yards to cover and the opposition team is able to look up and pick a pass, you are not ever, ever going to get there in time. And you're just going to do shuttle runs from side to side and never get involved in the game. And people will think, what the hell is he doing out there? And you're like, I'm probably running harder and faster than anyone here.
But I'm just not getting there.
Our team is not set up to win this game. So what I want to see from Tip this year is a new setup. Pick players in the right position. They're up against the Clare team that have had a year.
But should, if he's new, should you not have seen that last week?
From Sheedy?
Yeah.
Well, I suppose I'm not going to pull the trigger too quick, but from the game I saw in December...
They lose by 10 points, like,
I know.
Fairly.
But you would say they've been training very, very hard, as every team has now, by the way, so I'm not fully giving a pass on that. But I saw them in the Munster League last month against Limerick. Wasn't impressed with how they played, how they used the ball. The signs, and based on speaking to people who were at the Clare game, doesn't sound good. But again, it's only when you get midway through the league, give him a chance to see some of his top line players and see how they react and let him kind of figure out for himself. Because it's very hard to judge a guy in year one. But straight away, I could see what Matty Kenny's Dublin. Right, I can see what he's doing with this team straight away. But he didn't take over a team in disarray, you know.
But hold on a minute, you're saying there straight away you can see it, whereas the other fella are saying, I should be seeing it by now, or we leave it till the middle of the league.
Again, like, I'm trying to be fair to Liam Sheedy here, because he's taken over a team that had only won 3 championship matches in the past 2 seasons off the back of being All-Ireland champions. So they have been in a bit of disarray. I would say confidence is on the floor with the players. Now, I believe that they're delighted with Sheedy. It's a really good setup. A lot of positivity in the camp. But they need to quickly kind of find the right system, the right setup, the right players in the right positions. And I just wonder how long that's going to take. Whereas Clare are coming into this very settled system at the very least. Every player on the panel knows what's happening. And maybe they can tweak players in and out. they beat Tip by 10 points. You can't ignore that, even Munster League.
They're probably,
so that's why I'd give Clare the edge here, even in Thurles.
Just when you're saying that, Clare probably a team we neglect a little bit when we talked about the anti-posts last week. And I was just having a quick look at the 1A sort of to finish top market. And you have Cork and Tip 3-1 joint favourites with Limerick 130 and Clare at 4-1. Kilkenny then 11-2 and Wexford 10. So, you know, it's a really competitive market. For the actual game, which we'll touch on in a minute, Clare, decent enough odds you're getting there at the moment. You've got 8-13 about Tip, 8-1 about the draw, and Clare at 13-8. So if you fancy just Clare to win this 13-day, before the one for me wasn't a bad old price for 1A.
You see, for the top of 1A, no team really cares about finishing top of it. That's the problem, because they might be guaranteed a quarter final place and then they kind of half down tools because we'll rest players.
Yeah.
Like Sheedy talked about his players having flashes of brilliance. And I've said it before, this Tip team has... it has the best assets.
Absolutely.
The only thing is, a lot of players are turning around 30. And you know yourself, when you hit 30, you can't run like you could when you were 24.
Can't. 30 now has been like maybe 35 when back when I played type of thing. But one thing I'd say is, Sheedy, he's either... He could have had this game in mind when they played against Tara a little bit. I would say he definitely would rather this game is live on air. Right? There's
That's
a lot
a good
of exposure.
Point, yeah.
I would judge after this. If they're beaten at home against Clare again with a new management, it does add pressure. The confidence is low. There's no doubt about my mind. And the question is, have some of these guys missed the boat for another All Ireland? That's the big question.
Maybe. But then again, there are plenty of players who play have their best year ever at 31, 2, 3. It's not unusual for it to happen, but for all of them to do it at the one time, I wonder.
I wasn't suggesting they're like, judge him after that game last week.
Yeah.
My point was what I was saying, that regardless of last week, he's in the job now, 2, 3 months, 4 months, whatever, that already you should start be able to see and implement, like you should be able to go to the game and say, okay, this is what he's doing, I see what he's doing. They were exposed last year and now he's putting something in place to obviously combat that. Whereas you were able to say, you went to see the Dublin lad and straight away you could see the changes or what he was trying to implement. Yeah. That was the point.
Well, like
I was
Matty
making.
Kenny treats hurling like a chess game, and like he's probably on the phone to 3 or 4 of them every evening for a half an hour, ramming home what he wants from them in the game.
Attention to detail is exceptional, I believe.
But isn't that the way it's gone at that level?
Oh, yeah, for sure. And, like, I don't know what Sheedy's doing. Like, it's not like when before I could ask the brother, well, how's Sheedy getting on in there? What
are you doing?
Would he
tell you?
No.
Would he
not? Not really, anyway, because he knows I'm a mouthpiece. So.
He knows a lot. Clare are some better 13-8.
They are, and there's also a little bit of value again. Double odds, we mentioned it a moment ago, and your first goal scores on this game if your player scores in the first 20.
Clare plus 2 is 10-11.
Yeah, so I've noticed 2 points in the handicap. Big.
If you think Clare will win narrowly, Clare 1-3 is 14-1.
This is a more of a 1-point game for me than I think we talked about Tyrone Kerry a minute ago. 1 point. This would be more a 1-point game, so you might be getting an extra one there.
And Sheedy's right. Like, I mean, the flashes of brilliance. That's why I think Tip have the more brilliant players here, but Clare have the more settled system. I think I wouldn't be shocked now if Clare got the first score from a free, you know, win the throw in, turn around, get fouled because they've pacey players. That's 4-1 to get their first point from a dead ball. For Clare,
you're saying 1-3 points. Clare is 14-1.
4-1.
4-1.
One last point, actually, and I want to throw this at you, Bernard. Last year, Seamus Callanan missed the league. He had a back injury.
Yeah.
He came back. Jason Ford had done brilliantly as the main man at number 14.
Awesome.
Brilliant on the freeze, the whole lot. He'd finally landed at 24 years of age, as he was then.
Callanan, same as Bernard Brogan, by the way. Didn't start playing till 24.
Callanan came back then, and he was in full forward alongside Jason Ford. He wasn't put back on the freeze straight away. Now this year, Callanan has just been named captain. Last month in the Munster League, when I watched him, he was taking the freeze again. Now, something similar happened with Joe Canning before. He'd missed some games and Conor Cooney took the freeze and Anthony Cunningham left him on the freeze for the year. Now he's back taking the freeze since. Do you think that's something that Callanan will be like, right, he's backing me here in a big way? And like, is it a good thing for Callanan to reassure him that he's both captain and back on the freeze? Also, would you be concerned for Jason Ford, who looks like he was becoming the main man?
That's a brilliant question. And I go back to Westmead, let's say John Heslin comes back in, Gerry Egan. That sort of has affected them a little bit over the last few years. Personally, I would have left Ford on the freeze and maybe Callanan to come back in a miss to work a bit harder. I mean, maybe not put the pressure on him to the same extent. Ford, to me, last year was incredible. I have to say, his goal taken, his scores off either side, on the ball, from play, dead ball. Sometimes if that goes against you as a manager, it can affect the likes of Ford. And, you know, his game can regress, which you're taking a bit away from him. But then I can understand trying to give likes of Callanan the confidence. If he's a confidence player, it might be the thing to do. But if someone maybe is, I'm not saying at all he is, this guy is not, but in some other cases, the big player that comes back in maybe hasn't earned the stripes and is put under freeze. And a guy, I see like Ger Egan maybe, Westmead, when Heslin comes back in, he takes him. Ger, look at man of the match last weekend. That's the big one for Jack Cooney coming back in. Same scenario, it's all relative, but it's a great question. To me, Ford, I would leave him on the freeze.
It's a tough one. It's a tough one.
It's a tough one.
Before you asked that question.
Great question.
Because when I saw the news that he did give him the captaincy, it's purely down to trying to get the best out of this fella.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know, but from what I've seen of him in the games, he's all the ability in the world. But is he giving it to you every week kind of thing?
Callanan?
Yeah.
Do you know, he's one of these guys who for about 5 or 6 years, his first 5 or 6 years of his inter-county career, he was questioned all the time. Did he have the bottle for it? And, you know, he had maybe one or two big games that didn't go his way. But then, like, the last 4 or 5 years, he's been nominated for Hurler of the Year 3 times.
He was probably insane for a couple of years. Absolutely.
Oh, my God.
The year that went off, phenomenal.
Yeah, and went off against Kilkenny a few times as well. Got big scores as well.
I think Liam has given it to him just to give him that bit of added responsibility.
I think it is, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You're my main man.
Absolutely.
Make it count. Yep. I do wonder about naming him as captain, but also another forward, Noel McGrath, as vice-captain, because you're actually saying to all the rest of the forwards, there's only 4 positions up for grabs here. So, and I'm not saying that they wouldn't be guaranteed anyway. They probably would. But you're straight away telling the rest of the panel there's only four forward positions there, aren't you?
But they're probably aware of that anyway, are they, Shane?
Maybe to some degree. But I think even kind of subliminally, it's probably a little bit of a negative for every other forward.
Liam Sheedy, for me, I mean, look at John McGrath. The forward division, I don't think, is going to be the winner or losing.
Midfield, how they use the ball is.
It is, but midfield, they've got to get a midfield, a consistent midfield. They chopped and changed a lot there. But the defence has been so open, lacked a bit of pace, and have been exposed. But this long ball non-stop that I've watched for a couple of years now, the game has changed. They haven't evolved with that technical side of the game.
And Sheedy's been out for 8 or 9 years, so it'll be interesting to see.
But he's watched a lot, so he'll obviously be aware of what's...
Every hurling man watches a lot. Yeah. It's a question of how have you evolved in the meantime, and as a tip man, I really hope he has.
I'll tell you what, he's put his neck in the line. I admire him for doing it, but this is going to make or break him.
Yeah. Wexford against Limerick then, speaking of evolving, Davy Fitzgerald's third year, is he going to evolve? Because the first year they made great strides. Last year they seemed like a team stuck in the mud, playing with the sweeper. Teams had them figured out. Against the All-Ireland champions here, I think Davy's going to want to come in and get a win because he doesn't want the rot to set in straight away that things aren't going to change this year. I think John Kiley's going to want to win because to show that this team is ready to back it up because they kind of came out of nowhere to win an All-Ireland, to be fair. Mm-hmm. What way do you see this going?
This is... The way Davy thinks and watching, you know, and sure he's box office, the media love him and all the fans, you know, and he played it, would he stay on, will he not stay on? Davy's always went, wherever he's went, he likes to do well in the league. He likes his teams to compete in all games. Now, I think he's felt in the 2 years with Wexford.
Didn't he get to the league final, was it last year or the year before?
The year before.
He won it with Clare about 3 years.
But Wexford as well didn't they get to
semi-final last year. But we gave them lots of it in the semi-final, Tipperary.
This Wexford team have fallen off at the latter stage of the championship. When they have a bad day, it can be bad. And their big players, for me, didn't do enough in the second half of the year last year. Yep. There's no question. That was his big problem. Lee Chin, the bigger players, they didn't actually perform. So he's got to get his big players performing now. But Davy would love nothing more to turn Limerick over. Now, Limerick celebrated and the whole euphoria so many years and all that. I'm really looking forward to see how Kylie and the boys apply themselves and the attitude. If they're not ready, Wexford will be sitting waiting in their long grass for these boys. They'll give it everything. Wexford need more quality, a few new players, but they need their big players in big games to stand up. They haven't done it enough.
15-8 for Wexford for this game, 8-1 the draw, and Limerick 8-15. 2 points in the handicap again here, so you're talking Wexford +2, 11-10, Limerick -2, 5-6, and the tie at 10-1.
I'd be looking at, I saw a bit of value there in Limerick being the only team to score a goal at 10-3, because Wexford are going to play with a sweeper. I'd imagine they're going to play with a sweeper.
100%.
So, it unless they hit a long ball in and Conor McDonald is playing, turns and slams it into the net, I think it's very hard for Limerick to, or sorry, for Wexford to score goals. Rory O'Connor, I think, if he was played in the right position and given enough ball, he could do untold damage.
Brilliant. Just on that market then, Shane, sort of an add-on to that, you can get, if you go on online, an interesting market that I know a few people like, just get it on the soccer scores. So basically only goals count. And if you take Limerick 1-0, you're getting 9-1. Or if you take Limerick 2-0, you're getting 10-1. So bit of a different market, just if you want to have a play or something like that.
There. Okay, so that's the GA. There are a million and one games going on this weekend, but we'll just focus on those. We'll touch on the racing this weekend. Declan, where's your interest this weekend?
We have to keep it relatively brief, I'd say, on this, because we don't know if half the racing we're going to talk about here is going to go ahead. The weather over in the UK is an absolute nightmare at the moment.
She was giving out about it being too dry a couple of weeks ago.
Johnny was on about global warming last time, and here we are with the snow now over in the UK. So, look, Cheltenham Trials weekend this weekend, so hopefully this goes ahead. We've got to start with the Cotswold, and I'm glad Alan's in for this, because if I'm not mistaken, Alan, I think myself and yourself had this last time. Big Frodon fans.
And
he's the favourite for the Cotswold, 9-4 at the moment. Elegant Escape is 11-4. Terrafort 7-2. Valtor 7-2. 6 is about Black Corton, and 8's Manella Rocco. I'm not sure, not certainly got there. I think he's entered at Doncaster as well. 10's or bigger the rest. Any specific fancy you're going to stick with Frodon?
Frodon, yeah, we have to stick with him now after last day. He produced the goods for us, Dex, so why would we veer away?
33-1 for the Gold Cup, or 16-1 for the Ryanair. Is that just a bit too far? Yeah, too far for him. He's in good form. He loves the course. But 3 miles here for the first time since December 2017. Looking back, I don't think he's won over the 3 miles. His form reads second, fell, and second there. You've got a couple of interesting ones in here. Elegant Escape won the Welsh Grand National, and the trip won't be a problem, but the quicker ground might be. So if you can find one at a bigger price, I'd be with you, Alan. I'd be thinking Frodon wins this. Interesting, though, just to touch on Manella Rocco, if he does run here. First run off the back of a wind up. There's an excellent piece in the Racing Post during the week where they sort of tallied up all the like how worthwhile it's been since the first time windups have been revealed to the punters, because that wasn't a thing going back last season. So basically, if the horse has had a wind operation, you now know, as opposed to maybe you wouldn't have known before. It's been relatively selective. I think Warren Greatrix was in talking about how useful it is, but it's been selective, so it still hasn't massively benefited punters. It has some places and it hasn't others, but Manella Rocco's interesting off the back of that 2017 Gold Cup runner-up. So it could be interesting if he does run here, but probably hard to fancy on the form. Just one or two others to touch on, then we'll keep it relatively brief. We've got a whole host of brilliant racing there at Cheltenham if it does go ahead. Interesting one, the Ballymore Novices at the 3 o'clock. For me, this is just one versus the other, top two in the betting, Birchdale and Jarvie's Play. Champ was due to go here, which you might know a little bit about Champ, named after A.P. McCoy, apparently.
Well, Nicky Henderson actually said with Birchdale, didn't he? He needs a run where he thinks that's Champ will be okay without the run.
That's exactly. You get 13-8 about Birchdale. Jarvie's Plate is 2-1. 11-4 about Brewing Up a Storm. And then you've got 16s or bigger the rest. I think Birchdale wins this for me. He's 25-1 for the Ballymore if you fancy getting stuck in. Now, Champ is the 9-2 favourite for that. Jarvie's Plate is very interesting, though. Second to Elixir de Nuts. And he beat... He's gone on to run well since. And this Jarvie's Plate actually beat an odds-on runner of Nicky Henderson's the last time. And absolutely trounced them, to be fair. So really, really impressive. Even that effort behind Elixir de Nuts, that was on shorter trip, this looks like it'll suit ideally for him. So good chance, but I'd be sticking with Birchdale there, and actually I'd be thinking of doubling that up with Frodon for a handy old return. Last one we'll touch on then is the Cleve Hurdle, 3:35 over at Cheltenham. Handy little indicator if it does go ahead for the Stayers Hurdle. You've got a couple in here who are all going to be running in that. Midnight Shadow, Paisley Park, both joined at the top at 7-2. 4-1 Black Op, Upati Son at 6s, 8-1 Sam Spinner. And you know what I mean, Harry, Holstone's in there at 8s as well, and 10s or bigger the rest. It's an interesting field. There's a sort of a lot of runners who maybe haven't made the cut at the very top level and who take, you know, have a go here. But any preference for any of these?
Horse at 6-1 there.
Upati Son, for Harry and Dan Skelton. Interesting runner, I'd say 6-1. I'd be leaning towards Black Op. He's actually been really well back this week, I should point out as well. So he's shortened up, although just seems to be drifting a little bit now to 4-1. His jumping's been a bit of a problem recently, going back over the hurdles now, having previously been on the fences. But if you go back to some of his best form, he's a Grade 1 winner at Aintree. He put up a good fight against Sam Crow and Santini. So I'd be thinking this one has to run very, very well here, given that he's... I wouldn't even say he was terrible over the fences, you know, just a little bit questionable when it came to the jumping there. So should be about 12-1 if you're looking ahead to the racing at Cheltenham for the Stayers Hurdle. And I should point out, lastly, a great offer in your Ladbrokes shops. If you sign up to the grid in shops, we've now got best odds guaranteed on your multiple bets all day. So sign up to the grid, you can get a multiple bet on at the best odds.
Excellent, excellent. That's just before we finish up, we'll go for the bets
Patriots,
of the week.
Patriots, no, the Patriots.
But that's not the following week.
No, but I told you they'd beat the same.
The Chiefs.
The Chiefs.
Yeah, but basically they won a coin toss, and that's the reason they won. Like, it went to overtime.
Did anyone ever
would you be impressed if Bernard had called a coin toss? I'd still be relatively impressed.
Like the tackle that was missed last weekend.
Yeah, well, look, the tackling in the NFL, you can't actually do that much contact tackling, so they can't tackle.
Super game. I told you,
Patriots was going to win. Brady was going to win.
Yeah, but come on, there's an asterisk all over it.
I told you they'd beat them. I told you they'd beat them away.
Well, I believe your best bet last week was the one to beat the New Orleans Saints.
You have a man crush on Tom Brady, don't you?
No, but I knew they were going to win it.
We did miss out on one good opportunity when it came to the football, was to just get Alan's opinion on the League of Ireland, the outright betting.
Oh, indeed, yeah.
Just to flag that up, because
is it a week early now? Sure.
Oh yeah, well we can come back to it, but just in terms
there
of
for St. Pat's.
It's about time you started.
It's done. It's done.
Well, this year, Bernard.
Can I tell you, St. Pat's in the betting have shortened up massively. Wow. I think that's a huge overreaction from our traders, because they've signed a player or two. They're exciting. They're very exciting. But
where are they getting the money from?
I would have always had the same man pumping the money in, yeah.
Okay.
They needed wholesale change, didn't they, Pats, after
last year? Would he continue to pump the money in? But looking at the signings they made yesterday, he's obviously
3 years signed for Forrester, wasn't
he? He's a serious talent, yeah.
Having already got Jack Byrne in as well, is it going to be really, really exciting.
But he's at Shamrock Rovers.
Oh, he's apologies. Yeah. I thought he went to...
They signed Reese McCabe as well yesterday from Sligo Rovers. So, two statement signings, you could call them, really. And it's probably... I wouldn't say it's pushed him towards winning the league title, but it's certainly pushed him from probably hovering around 5th and 6th right into contention now for the European spots.
So who's winning it?
It probably kills me to say this. It doesn't really. But I give a squeak to Shamrock Rovers this year. They have a great chance. 7-2. I don't think Dundalk will run away with it, as what we've seen in recent times. Cork have kind of stepped off it a little bit as well. I don't think they'll be as good.
That's fair for Cork. And I know there are big questions about them last year and with their manager, but certainly compared to... Rovers have big questions over them after last year.
Sure, look, I'm sick of questioning Rovers, to be honest. I get enough trouble for questioning. But that's what I'm saying. I'm only questioning them because it's fair to question them. They should be, with the resources they've had, challenging and a lot closer to Dundalk and Cork. Whereas this year, the signings they've made in midfield properly strengthens them. They also fixed up their goalkeeping issue last year mid-season and brought in Manus, and he'll be a great signing. Defensively, they looked a lot more solid towards the end of the season as well, with Grayson Lopez. So they have an unbelievable chance, I think, this year. But not alone that, they are under pressure to deliver a proper challenge, and they have to deliver a proper challenge because Bradley's been there now 2 years. As you say, they've been way off the pace. The only thing I worry for them, not that I worry for them, but if they are to bridge the gap and win a league or challenge for a league, I still think they need a 20 goal a season, man, and I don't think Dan Carr is that man.
They have to start off really, really well, Rovers, don't they? If they don't, he'll go, Bradley, surely.
Well, as I say, he's there 2.5. How long do you keep saying he's building or whatever, you know? Exactly. Or we're doing great work at the youth level. The first team have to start delivering. And so far, since he's been there, they've been way off the pace. But his argument back to that is we're gradually building. Well, it's about time now. The wall is built and deliver.
I've been stung.
Okay, Trump.
But I think the 7-2... There's value in that, because I think it's going to be more competitive, and I think with Pats, with the signings, I think the top half of the league will be very competitive, which I think is a good thing as well.
Do you think that's a right move in the betting for Pats, the way they've got, they've more than halved in price, they're nearly about 8-1 now or something like that?
I don't think they'll win the league, but it's good to see that, because there was talk of Forrester going to Dundalk, and had he gone to Dundalk it would have been a disaster for the league, because they definitely would have ran away with it.
Right, bets of the week, Bernard.
Listen, try and give you, well, back in the G end of last week with Westmeath, I thought was a very, very good one. I think Monaghan 5-2, great bet. Tyrone 11-10, another great bet. I think the one, Clare, 1-3 points, 4-1, a huge bet. And I'll give you a soccer one, Man United, keep it going, 33-20, they're my four.
Okay, I'm going to give you four teams. I'm actually very confident about these.
An accumulator?
But you can mix and match them whatever way you want. If you want to do doubles, trebles, or do the four.
Man, spit it out.
I think you should do the four. Bristol City at home to Bolton. Bristol City, decent enough championship team, and Bolton are in rag order and protests off the pitch and all sorts. There's major trouble. Derby to beat Accrington Stanley. I think there could be a little bit of a dark horse for the cup, Frankie Lampard. Then I have Wolves, who are a proper dark horse for the cup this year, away to Shrewsbury. And the last one is... How many is that I give you?
That's four.
Yeah, there you perfect.
Draw Man United and halftime full time 11-2 and double up that one I said earlier, Frodon and Birchdale in a double.
Both teams to score, Liverpool Leicester 11-10, Clare plus 2 10-11, Limerick only to score a goal against Wexford 10-3, and
10-3 just to score,
to be the only team to score a goal against Wexford. Monaghan halftime full time 6-1, and Kerry Tyrone to win by between 1 and 3 points is 3-1. Lads, we've it all said. We'll get you again
we
next
make
week
a fortune.
The Back Page, brought to you by Mirror Sport and backed by Ladbrokes.